Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, well, we laughed at it, or I should say I scoffed at the idea in the previous episode, but now we have actually made it a topic for this.
I said it. Andy. I said it. I want to say that.
You did say it. Roma, they lose 2-0 to Atalanta this evening. Before getting into that, our newest patrons, welcome to the nightmare, friends. Ved, Jay, and then our good friend Jay from the Paddock Blues, an Everton podcast, who they themselves, the Friedkin Group, they picked a great time to not only own Roma, but enter into negotiations for Everton as well. Things going ideal for them. Thank you both for your support. If you would like to join the nightmare, patreon.com/RomaPress. @RomaPress for the video version of the website. Well, this is real now. Yeah, I mean, this is real. I did somewhat scoff at it, Andy, and we can get into the actual part of the relegation debate shortly. This one had all the hits tonight between Roma Atalanta. You had the two guys who, if you were to pick two of the other team that you, in your body, you were to get a physical reaction at them finding the back of the net. Number one would be Zaniolo, and two would be Deron, who is one of the most cringe, one of the most corny, one of the most just terminally online footballers. I can't stand the guy. I think most people can't stand the guy.
Those unless you're an Atalanta fan. Yeah. And I don't even think the Atalanta fans are like,
well, correct. And they are, of course, the ones who find the back of the net tonight. Was a match that they, for everything I said in the previous episode about the attack of Roma finally coming back to life. Wow, this is great. Finally, you know, there is a pulse. They do have something. Tonight, that was gone. I am thinking of the moments that really were clear-cut. They were few far between. You had Dybala delivering a very nice pass to Shomurodov, who boots it, I think, with the second touch that he gets on it. You had Salamakers doing more in 5 seconds and creating a very dangerous and interesting episode to Gianluca Mancini, who promptly, he didn't even get the attempt on goal. I don't even know what that was. It looked like something you would see like a Las Vegas circus show. And that was about it, I believe.
Well, no, you had Kone hitting.
Oh, Kone. Yes, okay.
If that is taken by any other player of any other team, that's a goal right there. So, I do think that tonight is an unbelievably Roma night, and we've had quite a lot of them so far, because tonight, I actually do think that overall it's a match that we played with dignity. It's a match that we played, as always, against a team that for many, many years so far has been superior to us, and a team that has made us suffer much more than tonight, I think, in the past. You know, we went up against an Atalanta side that are just rolling. They're second in Serie A. Kind of like Napoli, you know, you do what you can, but at the end of the day, one team has figured it out and the other team is busy figuring it out. And one could also say that tonight there is so much bad luck for Roma, which is, again, typical for Roma, because Mats Hummels is easily one of the best players on the pitch and has to leave. Zeki Celik, one of the best games for Roma tonight, and he ends up scoring an own goal. So, yeah. You know, you have to sometimes wonder, what is this affliction that Roma are, what is this spell that has been cast upon Roma? Because sometimes it's not even about them hurting themselves. It's like, it's just, It's an unstoppable force that seems to make things even worse than they are. Because tonight, I can officially say, I don't feel too sad about the result. The circumstances are much more infuriating than they are sad. There are so many elements in this game that just did not go our way, such as the goal scorers, such as the fact that Zeki Salik is doing brilliant, and then just 1 second and Roma pay for it.
Ask our patrons that, man.
The shot by Kone that land. Yeah, but that then you know also the shot by Kone that hits the crossbar. It's on and on. This season has been particularly tough, but I think tonight is sort of just a collection of the greatest hits of what it means to watch this team go up against a side like Atalanta, who for years have created a system. They've built a model that Roma have been on record that they want to try and emulate it. And tonight it was clear that one team was always going to win this match. I never for a second entertained the thought, even after Tottenham, that this Roma could go up against Atalanta and win. I thought that perhaps they could, you know, have an honorable draw at home. I did think that could be a possibility, especially given the energy with which we played against Tottenham. But tonight, once again, Roma are too sterile, too unlucky. And in the end, Atalanta are the superior side.
Nobody's going to argue that. I think tonight, when you take this result on top of the defeat to Napoli, these two defeats just on the face of them in a very compact window, there is nothing dishonorable, there is nothing embarrassing, because frankly, Roma is not as good as either of these teams. However, when you stack it on top of the absolute crap that has been this season, this is what I said in my post-match reaction. I'm not mad at tonight's result per se. I am mad at the fact that I can't be willing to just accept, okay, well, Roma looked better now. You know, we're past the point now where we can realistically accept moral victory, so to speak. I know in a way we did say that with Tottenham, but man, Andy, it is almost at the halfway point of the season. We are going to be entering into match day 15 against Lecce at the weekend. We 3.5 months, almost 4 months into the season, the time of moral victories is sort of over. Now we need concreteness. And by the way, I just want to reiterate, it's very unfair, the situation to Claudio Ranieri, who manages just his third match tonight. He has not been here very long. It has been 2 weeks that the guy has been in place. So certainly he does not bear any of the blame. But I think when you have an evening such as tonight, and then you look subsequently at the table, which brings us to the obvious. I mean, you said it in the previous episode, this thing of relegation. I do, when you think about it on the face of it, you kind of scoff at it. And you think, come on, let's be serious now. But you look at the table, and then you look at how many matches have been played. This is the middle season, so to speak. You are now in the thick of it. The time for early mistakes, the time for, again, moral victories, I think is over.
Okay, we agreed that we were not going to be turning anything around in these last three games.
No,
it was never going to happen.
So
what are we talking about? You know, we can make these statements after the next three games, because we are looking at a very accessible schedule for the next three games where it is quite obligatory to get 9 points out of the next three matches. But these last three against Napoli, Tottenham, and Atalanta were never going to be the fixtures in which you would realize your mistakes and compose yourself. And mind you, Roma did just that, if not more. I do think that actually, given what we were presented with for the last 3 months, they exceeded my expectations. I never thought that Roma had it in them to go and not get absolutely murdered by Napoli. I did not think that Roma had it in them not to get humiliated by Tottenham, who had just done the same to Manchester City a few days prior. And tonight, you know, even this doofus Martin De Roon says it's a lucky goal. So I gotta give him credit at least for that. Because again, like tonight, I do think that Roma do what they've done for the past three games, which is show dignity, which has not been the norm so far this season. So the moment where we go, okay, well, when do we let go of the moral victories? Well, the moral victories have to stop right now when we are about to face Lecce. That's when we can start talking about results. But these three games were never going to be the answer. Ranieri was the first one to say. He said, when a reporter said, what do you expect from this team? And he said, frankly, I don't expect anything in these three games. The mentality thing is a work in progress, and it's not going to be realized in the three games against two potentially Scudetto contenders and a Premier League side that has killed one of the biggest teams in England. So that's, you know, I can sit here and you know, and pretend to be, you know, to be desperate looking at the table, but I do think that quite every, I mean, 99% of people who have, you know, a functioning brain can agree with me that Roma so far in these three matches under Claudio Ranieri exceeded what they had shown both under Daniele De Rossi and Ivan Juric. Unfortunately, there is still a lot of work to do. The prospect of relegation is looming there around the corner, but it's something that you're going to address only now when you face Lecce, when you face Parma, and so on and so forth. You know, you play against Sampdoria. So that's what we're thinking now. But so far, relegation, listen, again, I just want to say it's going to, if anything happens, the thought of getting this over with on a Saturday afternoon, which is when most Serie B games get played. Yeah. I love that. Personally, I love it. Imagine that recording on a Saturday afternoon, and then you got your whole Saturday evening free. You got your Sunday free. You can let go of things. It's wonderful. Oh. It's wonderful. And maybe that would give us a real shot at winning the league. Maybe that would actually give us the shot at winning a national title. Think about it. So, you know, it's not all that gloomy. No, honestly, if somebody,
well, we thought we had fun with the geography portion of the country.
Listen,
we got to Serie B. Oof,
I can bet that someone is gonna get mad. Someone is gonna get mad at me for not taking this seriously. But what I can say is that I never thought about Roma coming out of these last three games with 9 points, with a feeling of, oh, they turned it around. Guys, if that was the thought process, then you don't realize how serious the situation is that Roma have created over this last year. Because everything, even Florent Ghisolfi's new style of communication, points to a realization by the club that they've made many mistakes over the last, I would say, year and a half. And now they're trying to dig themselves out of that. So this is not going to be turned around in one game. You know, this is not, if you win against Lecce, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden it's flowers and rainbows everywhere. It means that you've taken a tiny, tiny, minuscule step. But if people think that Roma are sitting right now next to the relegation zone just because they got off to a bad start this season, you don't realize where we were at the end of last season. You don't realize where our playing style was. It was nowhere to be found. We couldn't score goals. We conceded left and right. Roma had lost all kinds of momentum near the end of last season. That thing carried over to this season. And all of those things are byproducts of things that Roma did not address or messed up over the course of the last year and a half. And they've realized it now, because even Florent Ghisolfi, who, you know, like most executives at the club at the beginning, had kept a very low profile, and people were wondering, well, hell, when is he going to address the media after the transfer market? Well, now he's talking to it practically every 2 days. Even he gave a lengthy interview to Corriere dello Sport, and in so many ways said that Roma have made mistakes, that after Budapest, Roma have made mistakes, both on the pitch and off the pitch, in terms of diplomacy, in terms of structure, in terms of just how the club is run, they've made mistakes. If even the club recognize it, then that means that the issue is big. And it's so big that you just can't hope to turn it around on a Thursday night, just like that. It's not going to happen. This is a step-by-step process. Even games like tonight, where you have to watch Nicolò Zaniolo take off his shirt and celebrate in front of his former fans, it's part of the process. Unfortunately, it is. It's not a simple matter of getting one win. It's a matter of building some sort of consistency that hasn't been here in a long, long time.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You don't get to tonight just by a bad beginning to the season, and just because you had to sack a manager early and his replacement did bad, so you had to replace the replacement. This is something that, obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, we can see a series and nearly a full catalog of mistakes from the sporting director, from the Friedkins themselves, players, to the manager. There is nobody free from blame. And I know this is a very sort of frustrating way that some may interpret this sort of view of the situation, because when you're in the moment like we are now, when you look at the table and you say, oh my God, Roma 2 points above safety. We just got demolished. Well, not demolished, but we were handled at home by Atalanta. We had Zaniolo, the poor, you know, we had to eat a large bite of it. I can't take this sort of a wide angle lens view of the situation, but unfortunately, you have to, with hindsight being 2020, I would have to assume if the Friedkins were to go back in time, there would be at least half a dozen things they don't do. We can even get to the point where, even though we know the situation we're in now, do you remain with Jose Mourinho? That is something that can be asked, but I think the part where this discussion gets muddied is just because things are bad now, clearly the decisions made in the past were automatically absolutely incorrect. I hate that way of thinking. That is such a stupid way of interpreting a situation. Just because the situation is shit now, that does not mean Roma were playing. Does anybody... Andy, I remember that match against Milan so vividly, the final match of Jose Mourinho. You want to talk about sterile, that
dead horse, Roma. Dead horse getting whipped. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Roma looked like then.
And it even preceded that. I mean, do we remember that December? That December when Roma, they defeat Napoli, and we think to ourselves, okay, here we go. Momentum can be built upon this, and then it just dies. That was, I would argue, defeating Napoli and then defeating Milan in the Europa League. Those are probably the only two bright moments of the previous season. And that is it. So what the Friedkins would change, we can debate that. But clearly, I would say the first mistake is allowing that gap between the departure of Thiago Pinto and the appointment of Ghisolfi, and allowing within that time frame Lina Soluku to ease her way into having a say into on the pitch matters. Now, again, hindsight is always, we have that to our benefit. At the time, did it seem like a big problem? I think the 1st of March, I said something about Lina Soluku attaining this power. I think it was an issue with having no sporting director that agents could speak to during this period. But again, What effect that may that has till now, we will never know, but I certainly think that affects something. But as far as tonight goes, just keeping it focused strictly on tonight and not going too far back into time, the Porgino was always going to be in play tonight. Zaniolo celebrating like that. He knew he was going to get that reaction. This is something that somewhat bothers me. He scores a goal, fine. Of course, he's going to celebrate. But man, giving in to him like the Curva did, and
of course, I mean, why? Of course, because listen, this is the club that took a chance on him, right? This is the club that when Luciano Spalletti refused to play him at Inter. Despite him being projected as one of the most exciting talents in Italian football at the time when he was just a teenager, Roma took a chance on him. Obviously, Monchi brings him in that deal for Rajan Angolan. Roma make him the star of the show, perhaps by accident, just because of how bad Roma are that year under Eusebio Di Francesco going into his second season of the club. But he becomes the star, and Roma build around him. They build around Zaniolo, his talent. They build around this idea that he could become the next star and potentially the next legend. So that's who he was. Then he got injured, mind you, twice. And Roma stuck by him. And Roma waited for him. And then when he came back and he wasn't himself, Roma played him every single game, despite he was not good. That's the thing that a lot of people that were sad when he was leaving seemed to forget, was that he had been crap for a year and a half straight.
Couldn't score.
Without a single break. Score. There was not a single performance that I can remember from that spell when he returned from that second ACL injury that he was good. I just can't remember. The biggest thing that happened was the goal against Feyenoord. Fine.
Yes.
But Roma stuck by him no matter what. And I don't care. I don't care, because I can understand that there was also a lot of personal stuff. We heard all kinds of things about fans chasing him or whatever in those final days when he was in Rome, blah, blah, blah. Before going to Galatasaray. I don't care if that happened, if the small group of fans went after you, whatever. This is like one of the worst displays I've ever seen of a former footballer. Who, again, he's not a journeyman. Like, this is he's almost like a product of Roma. His best yes. moments, his highlights, his entire career has been made possible thanks to Roma, thanks to the guys that are still on the team that he celebrated against tonight. Like, imagine being Lorenzo Pellegrini or Gianluca Mancini or Brian Cristante, Stefan El Shaarawy, all guys who were with him then in 2018, 2019. And watching him do that, you know, like, it's not even about the fans. It's about the club. This is a club.
Oh, well, he's a dickhead. We know this. We've known this for some time.
He's a dickhead.
I mean, the only quality he has for me is, I mean, his mother is, Frock 77.
The problem is that not he's a dickhead. The problem is that he hasn't learned to be humble, because you'd expect a guy who spent the past year a few months at Galatasaray, and he had fans insult him out of the club. A few months at Aston Villa, and he had fans insult him out of the club. I mean, you know, take a clue, buddy. Like, it's not going good. So whatever happens now, he's been a bench player for Gasperini. Gasperini has repeatedly said that Zaniolo is still way behind in everything. And this is
a gamble we haven't won thus far some weeks ago.
And this is your reaction. Like, this is what you focus your energy on today as you finally score a goal. To me, that's the thing. It's not even, I can understand being upset with fans. I can understand being taking something personal. But there is a greater idea here at stake. You're playing in your former stadium, in the stadium where you played for, what, 4 or 5 years? 5 years? and this is your reaction. To me, that's it's insane. I honestly think that this is sort of the proof that people should never put too much attachment on a sport, because these people are human. These people will go out there and do just that, you know, in the face of a club that has supported you through thick and thin, through injuries and terrible performances, and kept playing you, kept putting you out there as the star, as the face of the team. This is what you do. Man, I have bad news for you, because this may be one of the last highlights of your career. End off.
Certainly, my frustration comes from the court of a sort of giving in. Let him look like a dickhead, because the second you do the, oh, you know, have you, it's almost as if you allow some to be sympathetic to his, or at least give, allow others to at least see his point of view from that reaction. He was always going to do that. If he was going to score a goal tonight, you knew you were going to get some sort of reaction from this idiot. This guy, he is an idiot. Do we remember how he left Andy? Remember how messy it was? Jose Mourinho had to come out, a guy who went above and beyond to shield players.
Yeah, he came out. He looked drained. He completely looked like finally he sort of got the hint that this guy is beyond saving, and that push and pull with Bournemouth waiting to get the green light, and him just being stubborn for no reason, waiting for that big transfer, and finally getting his big dream transfer to Galatasaray of all places, beyond ridiculous. But tonight is further confirmation that either you get it or you don't. Like, I've seen guys that whom we don't even talk about anymore show more grace. I've seen Jeremy Menez be more graceful towards Roma than this dude. Tonight, I think that's what, if there is anything upsetting to me tonight, is that it's seeing Zaniolo do that, because I think it's not even about sending a message to the fans, but it's actually showing a complete lack of respect for a club without whom you wouldn't be playing today. It's a fact. It's simple. You wouldn't be playing. You'd be somewhere in Serie B, my friend.
That's absolutely true. Speaking of Serie B, I mean, you got me somewhat intrigued by the idea of like coming on here and talking about like Roma, Cittadella, talking about, oh, Padova sucks. Do you want to talk about Padova? Oh my gosh. And then watching you stick up for, you know, Modena, which again, great place. But I don't think realistically we have to worry of that. But listen, now Roma have Lecce. I can't believe like we have to do like actual discussions now of matches like this, because again, now the points actually do matter. Now we can't say, okay, well, they look better against Spurs. They look better than against Napoli than they did under Ivan Juric. Okay, fine. Well, you took 3.5 months, which is nearly the maximum allotted time where we can play for moral victories and play for anything other than concreteness. Now, okay, points. We need the points. You just said their next three, they have to get 9 from them. I mean, this is such a weird situation, because you are 2 above relegation. And yet, I go to our group chat and there are still many patrons who believe, hey, it's bad right now, but you go on the run. You take these winter months under Claudio Ranieri. You get yourself knocked out of Europa League. I still believe top 6, top 7 is possible. I can't even get to that point, because it has been such a long 3.5 months. We have had three victories, three league victories this season. Do you even remember who all three are? Can you recall all three? because I had to look up the third because I forgot.
Udinese, Venezia, and Dinamo Kiev.
Yes. Well, no. In Serie A.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you recall?
Torino.
There you go.
1-0.
Yes, yeah. That was the magical penalty, which was over 1 month ago. So it is now well beyond the point where we can settle for anything other than victories. Now, Roma, you have to go out. You have to be Lecce on Saturday. You have to defeat Como. Lecce, let's break down Lecce. Let's break down who they brought in over the summer. We really have to do this now. We actually have to do this because if you look at the table now.
Well, no, I mean, listen, but there is one thing. We're facing Lecce, we're facing Como, we're facing Parma. The main difference right now is that we're going to be playing every 4 days. So for a team that we have to approach this team like we approach exactly a team like Lecce or a team like Venezia, because Roma are in a slump and Roma are in a dangerous slump. And you can see that these players, even when they went today to the Curva Sud, they were almost grateful and surprised that they were actually applauded for once.
Off with the shirt.
And the thing about that is that this is a team that we have to treat like exactly a team that is in the relegation zone, which means that this is a team that has to thrive when they can finally focus and play once a week. Because what we've been doing so far is bumping from place to place. I mean, these guys were in London on Thursday. They land in Fiumicino on Friday morning, and they play tonight. So they got two training sessions against a well-oiled machine like Atalanta, who are just running rampant against every single team that they face. So those are circumstances that are difficult for a team like Cagliari, like Venezia, like Lecce. And unfortunately, Roma find themselves in that company right now. We cannot forget that. We cannot ignore this and think that, oh, Roma are better than what they are. Roma may have the better pieces than the teams they're competing with right now, but the record shows that we have 13 points. The record shows that we have 3 victories. The record shows that we've been crap. That doesn't change overnight. The fact that we finally look at a month where we are facing opponents that are accessible and yes, with the possibility of resting, of actually resting, which is very important, because as like you see tonight, we lose Hummels and Cristante, and I'm pretty sure one of them had cramps. So that gives you already an idea of how unprepared this team still really is to compete on the big stage.
That is absolutely true. I said this as well in my post-match reaction. Just to end it on this, my fear is when the situation is as bad as it is now, and one misstep has the ability to snowball. One bad result has a knock-on effect for the subsequent matches. So if Roma, obviously, hopefully not, if they go out and let's say they lose to Lecce, the psychological and mental damage and weight that can put on a team, that can affect you into the next match and into the next one and the next one. And my fear is now, whether we want to accept it or not, this right now is an incredibly delicate moment. And my greatest fear, because frankly, we've had many shit seasons in the past, but this one, mathematically, is far worse than any of the ones that we've, since we've been doing this podcast. I mean, from a maths point of view, this one is by far the worst. In fact, no other ones come close. So as many times in the past as we've complained about crap seasons, lack of results, we have never found Roma in a situation like this. And my fear is, even for these players, I mean, think about it, man. They were in a European, they had won a European trophy, and then the following season, they're in a European final of the Europa League. And now, to go from that to this, you are now mathematically. Yeah,
so what? But so what? We went from
a European territory is what I'm saying. It's an unknown
went,
for that.
We went from a European semifinal to being absolute crap with the same squad just 5 months later with the same manager, the same players, minus Strootman. I mean, for God's sakes, you know, we are a team that for the last few, I mean, there is a reason, John, why since we've been doing this podcast, we've seen this team compete in the Champions League once. Doing the first season that we covered doing this podcast was the last season that Roma featured in the Champions League. Let that sink in, okay? There is a reason for that. There is a reason for as to why we are witnessing what we're witnessing right now. We you know, you collect the mistakes that you make along the way. And there's been many over the years. There's been many changes, many mistakes. And it all comes back to haunt you at some point in time. Perhaps it's needed. Maybe we'll look back on this spell in a few years' time. And contrary to what we do with like last season when Mourinho was here and the opening of the season seemed so catastrophic, such an antithesis against everything that we had built in terms of confidence by going to Budapest, you know, perhaps we'll look upon this spell and think to ourselves, well, it was needed. You know, it brought to the surface a lot of important stuff for us to address. And finally, we were able to bring ourselves out of this mess. Well, I really hope so, because as you say, you know, it's painful. It's painful to talk about a Roma side that have 13 points so far. But perhaps I want to sort of reason it and say that perhaps there, you know, it means something, and perhaps it will result in Roma finally taking notice of the many things that they could have handled differently. And perhaps it is needed to feel the heat on your back, because for so many years, we were mediocre. We were just middle of the road, and we could always say, oh, well, we are competing for top four. Can you say that this year? Like, can a Roma player now go in front of the cameras and say we compete for top four? Very hard to envision. And perhaps that is exactly what we needed, because for so many years, I heard that so many times. We compete for the Scudetto. We compete for Champions League. You know, it constantly changed. The objective constantly changed, but eventually, over time, gradually, the objective became smaller and smaller. Well, we compete for Conference League. Well, we compete for Europe. And now, when you try to fight against relegation, that paints quite a vivid picture.
It does. Hopefully, this is the lowest point of the season. We can only hope, but we will see. Hopefully, Roma, they can get something against Lecce. I don't know if we will be back before or after that match, but you will hear from us at some point. Oh, okay. We knew it would be a very difficult start to the return of Ranieri. We got the bad part over with. We can handle the rest. We should be able to handle the rest. So, till next time, everyone. Ciao.